it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Ronji, Amy Marks-Kors, The Chris and Amy Show.
Check it out.
St. Louis, Mound City, we are going to have a great day today.
On 104.1 FM.
Let's take it from the top.
KMOX.
Happy Friday, friends. Glad you're with us today on a beautiful, actually, it's kind of cloudy. I don't mind it, though. We're okay. Welcome in. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being with us today. Hancock and Kelly are with us on the show.
I just want to say, I've never been to a strip club.
Yeah. Okay, John has
I've never been to a strip club.
There you go. Me and Amy.
I have been to a strip club.
I've been to a strip club.
These are the two most incredible revelations
I'd love to say I'm shocked.
Yeah. This is the most on-brand thing ever.
Like, have been out of town with a group of guys on a golf trip?
Never been to a strip,
club?
I've never been to a strip club, and I have no intention of ever going.
Never been to a bachelor party.
Well, it's a little late now.
No.
Is that why you have glitter on you sometimes when you show up
that's
to
right.
work?
Yeah, because I go there first.
Sparkles, that's his name at the strip club. They call him old Sparkles Ronji.
They go, here he comes.
Have you ever been to that, what's the name of the health place in Frontenac?
Lifetime Fitness.
What's that?
Lifetime Fitness.
You ever been to the Lifetime Fitness?
Oh,
that's doggone near a strip club there.
I joined the Lifetime Fitness.
Oh, my gosh. Have you guys been to the Lifetime?
I'm imagining somebody driving to Lifetime Fitness right now going, what?
Man, every time I go there, I have a hard time exercising because I'm like, look at all these beautiful people wearing barely anything.
It's a bit of a meat market.
Yeah. Well, that'd be a good description.
It's a bit of a meat market.
Huh.
Yeah. And the Lifetime one in Frontenac, you can have a special membership that you can't, it doesn't even exist at the West County Lifetime.
Better Meat Market, Soulard, or Lifetime Fitness.
I had the place to myself at 5:30 in the morning the one time I went.
See, Soulard's hit and miss.
What are you, Mark Wahlberg, working at 5:30 in the morning?
That's the way I roll, January the 2nd.
Okay.
Lifetime January the 2nd, and I went one time.
Okay.
On January the 2nd.
Hancock and Kelly are with us today, as you can tell.
Yeah.
With us until 10 o'clock.
Off the rails already.
This show goes until 12.
Off the rails and on the pole.
So I had lunch with my buddy the other day.
Hey, can we do the real quick? Oh, guys, yeah, okay, guys, can we do the
do what you got to do,
do the thing first.
The thing.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everyone will be talking about.
It's St. Louis. Nobody cares about football. Yes, you do, according to the ratings, and it is football season. It's back, baby. NFL started last night. The Chiefs will play tonight, and you can hear it on 97.1, by the way.
And I'm going to read this exactly as it is written. Jobs report. Not good.
Not good.
that's all that's written.
Cardinals start a series against the Giants tonight.
Good.
And you know what else is tonight? It is the 19. No, dang it. We've already said that.
Okay.
We're on to baseball now.
Okay.
Tonight is the celebration, the 40th anniversary of the 1985 National League Championship Cardinals.
40 years.
At Busch Stadium, a bunch of people are going to be in attendance. And for us, we're back to our no prize football pick 'em.
Oh. Yeah.
Tom Lawless will be our celebrity guest tonight.
The pitcher?
No, buddy. He was a utility infielder who hit a home run in game 6 of the World Series against the Minnesota Twins.
Bat flip guy. Did the bat flip.
Nice.
Remember?
That'll be awesome.
Yeah, so he is with us. Terry Pendleton is also going to be on KMOX on the Gas House Gang.
Knocked on
at 12:30.
His door when I was running for state representative.
Terry Pendleton?
I did.
Did you know it was him when you opened the
door? Of course I did.
So he opened the door and you were like, were you surprised was what I'm saying?
No, I just, you know.
Or did you know that was his house?
Down the street was Jay Randolph's house.
Oh, yeah.
And knocked on his door.
Hmm. So Terry answered the door.
Ask him if he voted for me.
Terry?
Yeah.
So wait, so you were knocking doors post-election?
No. This was while I was running for state representative.
Oh.
You go door to door, you knock on the hi, my name's John Hancock. I'm running for state representative.
What year was this?
This would have been 1988.
This was pre-Secretary of State campaign.
Yeah, this is back when I was winning elections.
Yeah.
And John was like 22 years old, so it was like a little kid now.
Oh, he won't remember then.
Yeah, no.
Had a mustache.
He was probably like, yeah, I'll buy your cookies.
Clark Gable is what people said I look like.
Clark Gable.
Hey, buddy, have you ever touched a fish?
I have not. So I'm having lunch with my buddy the other day.
Who's your buddy? You don't take me to lunch.
Here we go. He says I'm reading a new book by Ken Follett, one of my favorite authors, historical fiction. I said, oh, really? And he said, what's the name of it? He said, I can't remember. And so he texted me the name of the book. So I went to Barnes & Noble. And I'm figuring it's a new book by Ken Follett. They're going to have a big display out, you know?
Yeah,
don't see anything. Mm. So I asked the lady behind the counter, and I gave her the name of the book. She looks it up. Oh, yes, we have it. Published in 1993.
Yeah.
All right. A new book by Ken Follett. So I buy the book, and $8.95, paperback. Nice. And I take it home. I look on the back cover, and I read, you know, realize that I read this book.
Oh.
I read the book like 20 years ago. Well, thanks, Jack.
Okay, that's it?
That's all I got. Okay, all right. Well,
everybody's looking at me like I'm supposed to say something.
Well, somebody's got to say something.
That was our book segment right there with John Hancock.
It's called A Dangerous Game.
Do you recommend the book?
Dangerous Game.
Is it a bit dated, like the technology?
Well, no, because it's Ken Follett. It's set in the 1860s.
Yeah. Did anyone get tetanus?
Could have.
Because that's scary. And that's why I'm afraid of tetanus, is all the Civil War books I read. Yeah. You get lockjaw.
I only
and then
know
you die.
Tetanus.
Did you ever read The March?
Mm-mm.
Oh, great.
I don't read a lot of historical fiction.
Oh, I love historical fiction.
Me too.
Amy, you learn stuff.
It's my favorite.
But I read historical nonfiction, like aka history books.
Yeah.
I don't really read a lot of historical fiction.
Tetanus was one of those things that you were always threatened with whenever you had a cut. Oh my gosh, is you up to date with your tetanus shots?
Well, I'm supposed to
Did
get
you
one
ever
of those.
Know anybody who actually got tetanus?
Well, no, but...
No, because we all got our shots.
I know.
But
it's always talked about. Like, it's something that's going to happen to you. But I know nobody who's ever gotten tetanus.
I ran into a yield sign that had rust in it, and I thought I was going to die.
In a car?
On foot.
You ran into the sign? Were you looking at some hot dude?
No, I wasn't. I don't know where I was looking, but I can tell you I was not looking at the sign, and I hit it.
With your face or what?
With my arm. Yeah, and then I got a scratch, and then I ran back to the sign. It was rusty, and I thought, oh, my gosh, now I got to go get a tetanus shot because I don't want to get lockjaw and then die like they do in the Civil War books.
So lockjaw, is that when your jaw...
Oh, you're like this.
I think it's pretty much exactly what it sounds like.
So you end up, you sound like a blue blood at that point.
Like Kanye, one of the songs, I forgot what song it was that he recorded, I think it was on College Dropout, where he had his jaw was wired shut and recorded the entire song like that.
Who, Bob Dylan?
No.
Yes. Bob Dylan or Kanye West.
He sounds like a guy that's got his jaws locked when he sings.
Really?
He sings out of his nose.
Well, he's not the greatest singer, but boy.
Great songwriter.
I think I do need a tetanus shot, though.
Well, let's get it. Let's go.
So, we should all go.
Well, I think I hit some metal thing and somebody scared me and said, you need to go get a tetanus shot. I think I've done that in the last couple of years. So I have to go get my follow-up for the
shingles.
Around Halloween, I can go and get my second shot.
Didn't you? You were like a stud because I was checking in on you.
I was no hurt, nothing.
And you... And it took Wheeler down.
I was
down.
Warned by everybody
that
this is going to knock you down. My sister's not. I had a fortunate experience.
Yeah, I did too.
I am petrified of them. I'm petrified of shit.
Well, you're not going to get them now.
I hope not.
Hey, Robert Walsh is watching us on YouTube.
Poor guy.
You can watch us on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. And Robert asks, isn't that what got Robert Wadlow, who was the Alton Giant?
Yeah, 8'11".
He did not die from lockjaw. I think it was sepsis.
Sepsis.
Because he had like a leg brace or something.
What's the difference between tetanus and sepsis?
You know totally what? Different things.
Four letters.
What is sepsis?
Sepsis is like
blood,
an infection.
Blood infection, it's very hard to get rid of.
Yeah, tetanus is from rust. I'm so afraid of rusty things.
Tetanus, that's a three-prong shot, right? It's got the little three dealy hickeys.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Did you guys get...
I don't know, actually.
I'm not old enough, but some people have those shots that from a vaccine that left like a mark on your...
Thought it was polio.
Oh, from like decades? It might have been the polio vaccine.
Because my grandpa had it, and he told us for a long time that he was shot in World War II.
Right.
And finally, my grandma was like, you were not shot in World War II.
You got a shot during World War
II. Yeah, that's your vaccine.
Like, I remember my mom and dad had it. I think a couple of my sisters did, and then they did away with it. But it was one of the vaccinations that it looks like a little circle on
people's
arms.
I think I might have that.
Yeah.
Why did they
take your shirt off?
They
let's
put
look.
It under yeah, the arm for girls, though. Huh? Why would they do that? That guys, I know, like with that shot that left a mark, the guys were on the outside of the arm. The girls, it's like the underside, so it didn't show as much. But why wouldn't they do that for the guys too?
Wait, I didn't know that they did that to the girls because the girl, as I've seen, was on the outside of the arm.
I didn't know.
So maybe you must have had a special doctor who's like, "Hey, I'm
well, not me.
You
I don't think we.
No, we didn't have it.
Yeah, don't have that.
We're not old enough,
kids."
Hancock and Kelly. What a start.
I mean, well, you
we always have a
John
start.
John started with the strip clubs.
He did.
I don't buy that, by the way.
What?
That he's you've never been?
I've never been to a strip club.
I believe him. I've never been.
I mean, what possible reason?
Now, I've been, but I've never paid for a lap dance.
Yeah, well, no.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen,
don't
I got a whole
about
thing about strip
nine
clubs.
In the
I don't
morning.
Want to go someplace.
John started it.
He didn't get detailed.
Well, what do you think happens at a strip club?
People take their clothes off.
That's right.
That's what I think happens at a strip club, and I've never been to one.
It is the Chris and Amy show, Hancock and Kelly.
I don't even like to take my clothes off at home.
You shower in a t-shirt and under.
Yeah, you know.
Can you imagine?
It's the Never Nude Club.
Our guys are with us. Scott Jagow joins the show at 10 o'clock. Dale Shilley, St. Louis City SC, will be with us at 10:30.
They're still playing, aren't they?
They are. Yeah. As I mentioned, at 11, the football pick'em with Tom Lawless, our celebrity picker. We got listener Brian on that as well. 314-436-7900. Love you all. It's KMOX.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Boys and Amy, Powerball, $1.7 billion is the jackpot. The drawing happens tomorrow. Since nobody won the big prize over the last few days, the jackpot has grown. So we were talking yesterday, and actually the day before that, too, about what we would do if we won the Powerball. Of course, everybody has this conversation, right? And, you know, you get a lawyer, you know that you have to do that first, right? I have always said that I will hire somebody immediately to be my denier. So anybody who asks me for money, I will direct to this person. I'll say, oh, I'm sorry, you have to talk to Michael Kelly. And Michael's job is to tell them no. Okay. I have also offered to be the winner's no person. So if any of you win the Powerball, I will gladly accept the position of denying people your money. So that's for whoever's listening right now.
What does that cost?
We'll talk about it.
All right.
$40?
No. We're going to talk about it. We may do a per denial basis. So,
and also, I think effectiveness of the denial, if the person keeps coming back, right. You lose money.
Well, no, because they'll just keep coming to me.
I mean, that's not effective. Now you're wasting my time. Now I'm paying you. Do you know what I mean? If I'm paying you per denial and you're such a bad denier that people are coming back five or six times, now I'm paying you more money because you're not good. I want a one and done denier.
Well, they're not coming to you. They're coming to me.
But I have to pay you each time they come to you.
They don't know that.
No,
like, it's per asker. Not per ask.
Because it's per ask, here's what I'm going to do is like, I don't think so, but try again tomorrow. See? See how that works out for me?
I won't do it that way. Guys, do you ever think about, first of all, do you even play the lottery?
No.
Yes.
I'm going to get up to
this kind of money. So I went and spent my $10. It's worth the little dream that I have for a couple of minutes. But to get to your more salient point about what I would do, we all wouldn't know each other anymore. If I won $1.7 billion, we wouldn't know each other. I got far better things to be doing.
Would you take John with you, though?
Could you hire me to be your no person?
No, I won't. There will be nobody to find to say no to.
Somebody will find you.
Yeah. I don't know. I would set up. I would take care of all my family and all that other stuff, but I wouldn't be here.
Well,
yeah.
How far out? Because you say you'd take care of your family. Where does the line stop?
Nephews and nieces.
Yeah.
Nephews and nieces?
Yeah. I'd take care of them. Buy their houses.
You guys are
and...
way more generous.
What would you, immediate
it's
family
a billion
only?
Like $7. You couldn't spend it if you tried.
I have one friend that I've already said that I would take care of. And then my like immediate family, my parents and my siblings. That's where I draw the line.
Really?
Yeah. That's it?
That's it.
Oh, I'd take care of the people that work with me. I'd take care of, I mean, I would set up aside a couple $100 million to take care of those people.
But you're only going to have a couple $100 million because
it's all said and done.
If it's 1.7 billion,
you're going to take about 800 million and then half of that goes to the government. $400 million,
yeah. You're going to walk under $400 million. What's the point?
I wouldn't change a thing.
Yes.
Oh, now you are the kind of people that I just want to punch. You know, the guy who's like, oh, I'd keep my job. You got $1 billion and you're still going to go mow the lawn at the local high school.
And you're taking a job away from somebody who needs one.
I'm going to buy some new brown shoes. I need some new brown
shoes. It's about time.
I know.
What's wrong with your shoes?
Well, these are my black shoes, and I need a pair of brown shoes.
Amy, I'll get you a pair of brown shoes.
Okay, Ashley, which ones I want?
I can't imagine.
Who is the comedian who says that you know things are going well for a person if they have brown shoes? Because really? That means they have two pairs of shoes.
Oh, my gosh, that's me. Because I wear my black pilgrim shoes.
Because everybody has a pair of black dress shoes.
Yeah, and they're my pilgrim shoes. And I really want a pair of brown shoes.
I can't imagine a brown version of those shoes. They're too expensive,
well,
Amy.
But I don't want the tassel. I want a pair of brown shoes without the
tassel. Okay, it probably makes them cheaper. I mean, those don't look like Prada.
They're nice shoes.
Yeah, but I mean, they look like something that you had to wear to school back in the day.
Well, they are a little pilgrimy.
Pilgrimy,
but I, you know what though? It's practical, and anyway, I would get a pair of brown.
It's also kind of your era.
It is my era.
Little House on the Prairie era.
I think it fits.
I have the sensibility of a pilgrim, but the practicality of, like I said, I can barely keep myself alive now in Kirkwood. Huh. Barely, I run out of food. Stuff breaks. I have no skills, but I do have the sensibility of a pilgrim. I think.
How you run out of food?
I know, and I can walk to a grocery store.
Yeah.
Guys,
you open the door and there's nothing in there.
So
really,
None of us are going to win the Powerball. But if you do, just keep in mind, I am here. My services are available. Yeah. I would get Chris, great delight out of telling people. No.
I got a gig for you. If I win the Powerball, you got a gig.
So and this goes for anybody listening to the show. I will absolutely call me. We'll work something out and I'll do it for you. I mentioned that football season is starting.
Mm.
It already has. I mean,
awesome.
College football has been going last night. Eagles beat the Cowboys, so the NFL's back. And I think it's super interesting here in St. Louis because we have railed against the NFL for a long time because of what they did, taking the Rams away and all of that. But if you look at the ratings, St. Louis still watches a lot of NFL.
Sure. Yeah, it's a great sports town.
I'm amazed, and I know we have a lot of Chiefs fans here, and for some reason there are Packers fans here, and I think a lot of Cowboys fans. People have just adopted these teams over the years. But what do you think it is about this city that no matter what, even with all of that, the sour taste of losing the Rams and how the NFL treated this city, that we still watch that sport in a big way?
Well, it's St. Louis is sort of a blue-collar city. And blue-collar folks tend to really like sports. And, I think St. Louis has always been a very good sports city. I mean, you look at the ratings for baseball. The football ratings are there. The Blues, when they're playing, the people tune in and watch. It's just a good sports town. So I'm not surprised.
Well, we've had two teams, so we're conditioned to like football. We like football like everybody else, and football's so much a part of our society today, right? That I don't find it surprising. I watched the game last night. I had people over. It was quite a different experience because I had four guys over, and you would think we'd be talking about strip clubs and stuff. No, they were talking about...
You got to come to KMOX for the strip club talk.
Yeah.
They were talking about their kids. We were talking about the weather.
Insurance? Did you talk about
we
insurance?
We talked about the president.
Yeah.
There was a conversation about insurance and how somebody was going to get their fence paid for. And I just looked at halfway through, I thought, man, it's really happening. Yeah. Like, these are, there was nobody talking about chicks or, hey, let's drink some more beer. It was all like adult, grown-up stuff.
Was this your first realization of feeling old?
It's just hitting me on a daily basis that, like, life has changed. I mean, there was one guy there whose, like, kid is graduating from college. Ooh. And I'm like, I understand. But, I mean, I still walk through the colleges and think I could be here.
Which is definitely a different topic altogether that we probably should address at some point.
I do. I walk through the colleges and I think, don't you walk around and see young people and think you're still young?
The only time I really feel that is like...
We feel old or feel like feel, you fit in?
Sorry, when I feel old. Because you feel, I've always felt 34, even when I was 15. I've always felt 34, so I've never felt young. I don't know, it's the weirdest thing you can ask my mom. She goes, when you were 3 years old, you were 34. But when it really hits me that I'm old, it's like my students, right, have grown up and they're in college. They're having kids now. But I get my, you know, you get a picture taken, right? Because you all got up, met up, and you took a picture because you had coffee and it's sweet. And you look at the picture, and I look so much older than they do. And I realize, wow, I am really old.
It happened.
Because you feel like you look at them, and in your brain, you still feel kind of young. Like, I feel 5 years older than them, 10 years older than they are. And then I'm like, I could be their mom. I mean, I really could. I'm 42. If they're 20.
Right. It's
the craziest thing. It's jarring. Yeah.
You guys don't have this experience?
I had Archie Manning's football card. So, I mean, that tells you something.
So you're watching his grandson now start someplace.
Yeah.
I think it's weird when you look at like the Blues roster and you're like, this guy was born in 2006.
Oh, my word.
And I'm like, what?
Like, I'll tell you my old, my very first, oh, my God, I'm old moment was when the Padres hired Andy Green as their manager.
Mm-hmm.
Manager. And it was the first time a team has hired a manager younger than me.
Oh.
Yeah. And I thought, right. Oh, my God, that's a real kick in the teeth.
Right. Well, and when I don't know about you guys, but when I watch like college basketball and stuff, I'm like, wow, those young guys look older than me. Like, they're surely more masculine and all this other stuff. But you're right. Now the managers and the coaches are younger than you.
And now you've got all these like these manager or players that you watched whose kids are are getting into the league.
Grandkids.
All right.
I mean, if you want to feel young, go out to lunch.
Have you
ever seen it? People that eat lunch?
I mean, they're all 70, 80 years old.
Are you kidding?
I mean, no.
Yeah. Don't you go to lunch all the time?
John, those people are eating dinner. The ones you're talking about are having... Yeah. It's 1 o'clock, they're having dinner.
You go to lunch somewhere, and you walk in, you look around, and you feel young. At least I do. And,
where are you going? Uncle Bill's?
Tucker's.
Tucker's?
Oh, yeah. That's an old person lunch place. Yeah,
wait, Tucker's, which one?
What about Miss Helen? Did you go there, too?
No. Tucker's is good, man. I don't know what they marinate that hamburger
in. If you want to feel good about yourself, go to the State Fair.
Yeah.
You'll feel pretty good.
Oh, man.
You're like George Clooney.
Or Six Flags.
Yeah.
Every time I go there, I'm like, man.
Any place you can get a good funnel cake, you're going to
pick it a litter here.
Yeah.
Robert watching,
Robert
watching on YouTube Robert says, Wadlow. J.D. Vance is younger than me. The vice president is younger than me.
Yeah.
That's also a tough one, too.
Well, fortunately, the president can still be your grandpa.
Does anybody else think that J.D. Vance bears a striking resemblance to Alec Burleson?
Wait, what?
The Cardinals, Alec Burleson.
Well, maybe.
Yeah. Is it the
full now I gotta look.
Yeah.
John Hancock.
Just an observation.
Michael Kelly, Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji on KMOX.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
John Hancock, Michael Kelly with Chris Ranji, Amy Marks Kors, and in a inexplicable turn of events, Ranj claims that he doesn't know the song from OAR. He's never heard it. This is the equivalent of John Hancock saying that he had never heard the song Help Me Rhonda
by
the Beach Boys.
It is absolutely not.
Have you heard that song yet, John?
Oh, somebody played it. I mean, I couldn't tell you how it goes.
That's so weird.
Rhonda Humneberger.
That's the airport. She's at Lambert Airport.
Yeah.
No.
Help me. Well, that's the Beach Boys.
Oh,
how do you not know a Beach Boys song?
I don't know.
OAR is performing.
Do you know Mary Had a Little Lamb?
I do. I play that on the piano.
Did you know Rhonda Humneberger it's a hyphenated name?
Yeah.
So that there's a Mr. Nebrugge?
Nebrugge, yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I thought Harry Nebrugge was one word.
Her son was a fraternity brother of my son.
Really?
Yep. Brandon.
Well, this whole time I thought Ham Nebrugge was one word.
No, it's two words.
Anyway,
OAR is performing at the Stiefel Charity Classic tonight.
Yeah, and you're going go to go there, I think. Because it's going to be a beautiful night. At Norwood. But by the way, there's so much going on, right? You got the Clayton Art Fair that's happening this weekend. Mm-hmm. Of course, you got the Cardinals and the Giants. There's a big car race, NASCAR race.
Illinois 300.
Yeah, I'm going to that too.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Sunday.
NASCAR. I used to make fun of NASCAR. I'm going.
Well, they've had races there.
Yeah, I guess. But what's the guy that listens to KMOX that was a NASCAR driver?
Kenny Wallace.
Yes, I had arguments with Kenny. Like, Kenny, it's boring. All you do is make left-hand turns.
Well, you were saying it's not a sport.
Well, it's not.
And he begged to differ.
Right. But you make the argument that only things that have a ball are a sport.
Yeah, if you got a ball,
hockey,
it's a sport.
Hockey, though, the puck is a ball.
It's a ball.
Okay.
I mean, it's a functional ball.
The butterfly in the Olympics, not a sport.
It's not a sport.
But water polo, a sport.
Yeah, you got a
you
ball.
You see how messed up that is?
No. My brother was a water polo player. He wants...
Had a good friend in college who was professional.
You ever seen the bodies on those people?
They're always underwater.
Jay was at Berkeley High. He was on the water polo team at Berkeley High School, and they were playing Hancock, and South County.
Yeah.
And my brother Jay Hancock scored a goal into his own goal for Hancock.
Nice.
Yeah, he did.
He was a water polo player.
He was.
Isn't it interesting that your brother is a water polo player and you can't swim?
Yeah,
like
I know.
You didn't learn anything.
Man,
from
that's
going
a tough
to
sport. You know what they do to you? They grab your underarm hair and pull it. You know,
in water polo.
Hair? Yeah. Oh, it's a nasty spot. I mean, under your
armpit.
Yeah, buddy. And the stuff they do to you under
you
that water.
Shave that off.
The stuff you do under that water is,
nasty.
It's harrowing.
It is harrowing.
By the way, we have a special guest on the line.
Well, bring him.
Yeah.
Apparently, Kenny Wallace has just called in.
I love this man.
Yeah, so Kenny Wallace is with us. Hello, Kenny. How are you?
Okay, you three. Didn't we just have this conversation like 2 years ago?
Yep. We did. I'm all behind you now, Kenny. I'm going to the actual race this week.
It makes me happy.
Yeah.
It makes me happy.
Are you going to be there?
Okay. Oh, you know I'll be there Sunday morning, 10 a.m. It's called Kenny Wallace Live. We are going to have the towel man from the St. Louis Blues get the crowd jacked up on Mountain Dew.
Whoa.
And then we're going to have, this is a one-hour show, Kenny Wallace Live. Everybody gets parked early, and then they got something to do like we do at Busch Stadium, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'm
and,
coming. I'm going to go see Kenny Wallace. Well, I'm going to meet the man in person.
Do you know, I texted Kenny a couple weeks ago because I was at Taleo Coffee in Kirkwood, and there was maybe like a college kid, 20-something, wearing an old school t-shirt that said, "Driving it home, Kenny Wallace." An awesome Kenny Wallace t-shirt on.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Kenny Wallace is a legend. Kenny Wallace is a legend.
And he's on the phone with us right now.
I can't even believe it. I'm pinching myself over here.
So listen. 10 a.m., we're going to have some of our best three race car drivers up there. Kyle Larson.
There he is.
Last week's winner, Coach Joe Gibbs hired him, Chase Briscoe.
Ooh.
Drives for Coach Joe Gibbs, Super Bowl champion.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tom just interviewed Chase a few days ago. Tom Ackerman.
That makes me happy.
Yep.
That makes me happy. Then we're going to have Ross Chastain, which Anheuser-Busch sponsors Ross. You got the Busch Light car.
Mm.
Yes. Okay, now, back to the, as you all would say, the matter at hand.
Yes!
So, Donovan McNabb, the great quarterback for Philadelphia Eagles, he started all this. He said, racing is not a sport. So, I raced 905 NASCAR races. I ranked top 15 in the most NASCAR races run. Now, I'm 62 years old, okay? So, I know a thing or two about this. When it's 100 degrees out there, and we're running a 600-mile race, which is our longest race, your cardiovascular has to be better than a world cyclist who, cycles through Europe. You cannot get in these race cars and think you're running down Interstate 55. You have to be physically fit. So I want you to know that all of our drivers right now, they're chiseled out. You would be made fun of if you had a belly in NASCAR.
Wow.
So we, and it doesn't matter to me. It's just that I love you guys. Yeah. And I wanted to let you know.
Kenny, let me ask you a question.
You don't want them to embarrass themselves.
I got into racing, as you'll remember, because of F1. And then you got me watching NASCAR. Now, I always knew NASCAR to be the guys who just go in a circle. But there, you all are racing street races. Now, did you ever do any of those street races? And which do you prefer, the circle or the street race?
Oval, buddy. It's an oval.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of like playing at Busch Stadium, and then you go to Fenway, and you're like, what the hell is this green wall about right here?
Right.
And they go, oh, yeah, it's real short, but you get now you got to knock the ball over the wall. So it's the same thing in racing. There's different courses. We run everything. NASCAR is very, chameleon. I mean, you got to fit in on street courses in Chicago. Now we're going out to San Diego next year to race on the Naval Base Coronado.
Hotel Del.
Hey, do you think they'll ever get rid of the steering wheel?
What?
Well, I'll tell you what. It amazes me the amount of normal, everyday people that are scared to drive a car. And this autonomous vehicle, it's like, I don't want to drive this car. Make it drive for me. I'm like, what? Go ride a horse.
But I'm just thinking, if you got that race car and you didn't have to worry about that darn wheel all the time.
Well, where's the competition then?
Well, couldn't you drive a car with push buttons or something?
No, remember the big wheels? Do you guys remember big wheels when we were kids?
Yeah, big wheels were
the
best.
They had the green machine you had the two levers on the left and the right.
I think
that
they're
going
to invent a race car that doesn't have a steering wheel. That's my prediction for the future, Kenny Wallace.
Well, I don't think you're far off. I think all of us will be dead and gone. But if people have their way, they're going to just, you're going to just sit in the vehicle. Help my son-in-law, Jacob. Jacob has one of those, what do they call those cars Elon Musk builds?
Tesla.
Yeah, he got a Tesla. That's called brain fade, everybody. That's what I just had. Brain fade.
So, hey, Jacob, do we like Jacob?
Jacob's super smart. He's married to my oldest daughter. He goes into coal mines and IKEAs, and it measures the square footage of heating and air. Then he gets back, and then they bid on the job. He's super smart.
He gets in his Tesla, and he goes off to the next place.
He says right now that he can make his Tesla drive for him, but he ain't going to do it.
Kenny, have you ever been in a car accident?
Oh, God. Yes. I mean, you know, not a car. Not.
I don't mean like a race. I mean like an actual car wreck.
No.
Okay.
Wow.
Guess what? Ranj was in a one-car pileup in his Corolla.
It wasn't my fault.
There was only one person in the accident, you, and it wasn't your fault?
Technically, the other guy didn't hit me, so it's my fault. But he did come into my lane.
Andy Schrader says it best. He says it's not how you wreck, it's how you place the blame.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That is good.
Yeah, okay. That's fair.
That is great.
All right. Well, Kenny, it was good to hear from you, man.
My day is made now.
I'm going to go see him Sunday.
Okay. I can go home and go to bed.
Michael will come and have a spirited discussion with you on
gonna
Sunday.
I'm going to walk up to him and say, Mr. Wallace, I'm Michael Kelly. You helped me become a race fan.
You're awesome. I love you guys. So I got a complaint. FedEx was supposed to deliver two shocks for me yesterday, and they're sitting up here at Maplewood off of 270. So I jumped in my, I got 205,000 miles. This is called my Busch Stadium Suburban.
Yes.
I take it down to Busch Stadium, so when it gets stolen, it don't matter.
Yeah.
So, hey, they sold the license plates off of a pickup truck that I took down there one time.
Hey, you had a problem with FedEx? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Okay. Yes. So I'm marching my butt up there right now. It's sitting there.
Do you know
why?
Let me tell you who would not have screwed up your delivery. My delivery service that I'm going to start. It's called Nice Package. And they would have delivered your packages on time directly to your door.
Kenny, I think there's something to it because UPS, they have a Hazelwood facility. Stuff gets stuck in Hazelwood all the time. Mm. Your packages just, I don't know what happens there. They get stuck.
Well, that's where it's up by the airport, so they're moving it around.
Well,
so.
It just it sits there too long.
Huh. Well, they need to get on it because this
were
one
they
here,
one of your sponsors?
If they are, they're going to straighten it up right now. Customer complaint.
Kenny Wallace, it's awesome to hear from you. Enjoy Sunday, and thank you for calling in.
Love you guys. Bye-bye.
You're the best.
Enjoy Illinois.
That's what I said.
Enjoy Sunday.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yes. It's Sunday is happening. Yes. It's the Enjoy Illinois 300.
Brought to you by the Army National Guard.
You think it's going to be hard to park?
I don't know what the parking situation is. No.
Well, this is great.
Well, you're going to be fine.
I got you, John. I know. Amy's the only one that ever gets my jokes around here.
What did you say?
I don't know what I said, Ron.
You said the Enjoy Illinois brought to you by the Army National Guard.
That was good.
Thank
that
you.
Was good. You guys missed it.
The National Guard will be there to pick up trash.
Yes.
It's the Chris and Amy Show with Hancock.
Yet? No.
Oh, all right.
Hancock and Kelly on KMOX.
Well, it's a surprise to nobody that Chris Ranji is a psychopath. Based on our question of the week, is it insane to drive in silence? Why is that our question of the week? Well, because Ranji drove home from Chicago.
I did not drive home
in
the whole time.
Silence. It was over half the time.
It was a couple hours. Before you wrecked the car.
It was before, clearly. Yeah. It was before I wrecked the car. Before I was almost pushed to my death. So I did. It took me the entire time, like 90 minutes or so, before I realized, oh my God, I don't have anything on.
Well,
I'm just driving.
Were you dealing with shame? What was going on in
your head?
I don't
know. I was just driving in silence. Yeah. I guess I was thinking. I don't know
but
what I was thinking about.
Don't you think that's like what a murderer would do?
Oh, I think serial killers sit in silence. I've been on rides with people where like halfway to the Lick of the Ozarks, I'm like, dude, you got to play some music or something because I can't sit and talk to you the whole time.
I write speeches.
Do you?
Yep.
While you're driving?
Give us one right now.
Turn the radio off and write a speech.
Well, it's doing some work.
Just whatever,
As opposed to sermons.
Well, it could be a sermon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Our question of the week on our Twitter account, at ChrisAmyKMOX, you should follow us and you should vote. The question is it insane to drive in silence? And we have final results.
The answer is no.
The answer is no, according to 73.5%.
Mm-hmm.
So three-quarters of the people who responded to this think it is not crazy to drive in silence.
It's a heck of a question of the week to have when you host a radio program.
I know.
Well,
we did have someone bring that up, that Ranj is advocating for silence.
I'm not advocating for it.
Listen,
do you have all your fingernails that you've clipped over the years, like stored in a drawer
in
or something?
World?
Because you're a psychopath.
No, I have other people's fingernails.
Michael, doesn't that make you feel like we've kind of cornered the psychopath market?
Yes.
73% of our listeners think that it's okay to drive in silence.
Yeah, that's weird. And I got to tell you, I don't know. I mean, why? What? Chicago, that's a long drive.
I didn't do
Chris.
The whole drive. It was like 2 hours.
Were you dealing with some shame?
No, hold on.
You left the family
between,
and you thought, goodness, I am just a dirt ball.
Michael nailed it. It's shame.
Yes.
Drives
it was
people
between
to drive in silence.
90 minutes and 2 hours.
Nothing
and I realized.
Wrong with it. Nothing wrong with
see,
it.
See, I just think sometimes you need to think.
And if you're not comfortable in your own thought life, then there's a problem there.
Okay.
But
so, thank you, John. I agree.
In my thought life.
But
I run without music. I run in silence.
There you
now
go.
I can tell you something that people do that I don't have the courage to do.
Okay.
I would never be able to last without. But have you ever met people who've gone on vacation by themselves?
I did.
Yeah. Oh, I know a lot of people who do.
I don't have the courage to do it. I want to try it. I want to do it. But is it hard?
Well, not for me, but I love being alone. And so, like, literally in March, I drove to Colorado by myself. I packed up the old Subaru, drove to Colorado. I skied for a week. So I downhill skied. I went snowshoeing. I went cross-country skiing.
By yourself?
Totally by myself.
In silence.
Didn't talk to a single person.
Yeah.
For a whole week. And then
was it hard?
Home. No. I could have spent another month there. It was so easy.
What'd you do at dinner time?
Oh, my gosh. It was great. I made chicken and vegetables, and then I, like, because you would skied all day.
You made your own food.
Well, no, I assembled. I bought the real rotisserie chicken, you know, that type of thing. And so I didn't go out to eat. I just made my own, like, assembled my own dinner, and you've skied all day. So you shower, you get on some sweatpants,
you're
and then
hungry.
I sat on the couch with this whole buffet of food that I've made, and I watched either the Food Network or the Hallmark Channel. And I did that every night, and it was the best. Like, so nice that, like, now I'm already planning my next solo ski trip.
Wow.
I loved it. And you know how much you can ski when you're by yourself? You're not waiting for anybody. I put on the backpack. I shoved food into my backpack, and I would just ski all day.
And you're all bundled up with helmets on, so the dudes leave you alone. Nobody's going to bother
you.
You're by yourself.
But you also don't have to wait in line because they have the single ski line, because a lot of people ski in groups. So I never once waited. And then also people think you're a local because a lot of people don't ski solo. Hmm. And a lot of people don't ski with a backpack unless you're solo. So people were talking to me like, oh, you know what you're doing. And I don't. But it was so much fun.
Yeah.
You could do vacation solo.
I would try it.
Yeah, give it a try once.
Have you ever done it?
I've been to like Phoenix for spring training, but that was kind of work.
Yeah.
But I would have days off and I'd go do things. And I would think like I probably could do a weekend or a few days by myself. And
you just probably could drive to Colorado in silence.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Driving in silence is crazy.
Yeah. And sing.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.